The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then they, the disciples and Jesus, arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city whom had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wild. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So seeing those faces helped me remember. Not that I think I could forget because I can't get the songs out of my head. But last week we had VBS and it was phenomenal. 188 kids singing at the top of their lungs, dancing around, learning about Jesus. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you for all your prayers for that as well. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I had kids, I remember talking to a friend, a co-pastor at the time, and he was grieving the fact that his daughter, who was about two and a half at the time, had reached the age of fear or being scared. Now, not the fear of separation or loud noises that babies often get scared of, but getting scared when watching a movie or reading a book, and then the ability to take that with them to bed. Never before had I thought of this, that there was a time, maybe, that we weren't scared of a scary movie before. But now I'm the queen of fighting off bears, checking for robots under the beds, and redirecting Eliana to look at the brave characters when watching a scary part of a movie. Because fear is all around us. We can become frightened by what we see on television, by world events, by our own inner fears. They become phobias, which is a Greek word that means fear or horror. There were over 100 phobias that are listed, and the top five of them are fear of spiders, snakes, heights, open or crowded spaces, and dogs. That makes me sad because I love dogs. Our gospel story from Luke chapter 8 today is all about fear as well. Did you hear it? The fear the people had of the man possessed with a demon. The demon had a fear of being cast into the abyss. The swineherd's fear about losing their swine. The town people fear when they saw the man who had been healed. And the healed man feared going back into the city he had been an outcast in. So let's dive in deeper to this gospel reading for today and see what all of this fear has to do with us. When Jesus stepped out of the boat opposite of Galilee, he stepped into a life and death drama. A Gerasene man runs to meet him, and he is in every way unclean. Driven by a demonic force, the man is scarcely human anymore. He lives not in a home, but in tombs among the dead. He is naked and unpredictable. He is violent and alone. Chains and shackles can't even contain him. He is a Gentile, but somehow has heard about this man, Jesus. The man would barely let Jesus off the boat before falling at his feet and begging him and pleading with Jesus. "What business do you have messing with me? You're Jesus, Son of the Most High God, but don't give me a hard time." And instead of responding to the message that this man had, Jesus asks his own question. "What is your name?" What is your name? You see, Jesus knew names are important, right? Our name gives us identity, and it also gives us history. And the man's response to Jesus is one of the most heartbreaking verses in Scripture. When asked, the man replies, he doesn't have a name. Or more accurately, he says his name is Legion, or a multitude, because the Romans would have heard this and know that a legion is 6,000 soldiers. He no longer has his own name, but instead he is identified by his demons, the things that oppressed him. And here he stands, oppressed by too many demons to count, lost in the noise of their voices. He is not himself. He's not an individual, not a person. He doesn't even know where he begins and these demons, or where he ends and these demons begin. What he does know of himself is that he is dangerous to himself and to others, and therefore he's been separated from this community. And it is through that simple question, "What is your name?" that the moment became extraordinary. Jesus asks the man to name it. Name the demon. Name the thing that was tormenting him. Come face to face with it and name it. Former New York Jets quarterback, Super Bowl MVP, and Pro Hall of Famer Joe Namath recently released an autobiography called All the Way, My Life in Four Quarters. In it, he reveals that he drank so excessively during his post-playing life that he nearly died. Health-wise, I'd probably be dead by now if I hadn't stopped drinking, Namath wrote. The drinking was what kicked me for a long time. I believe any of us can be brought to our knees, whether from physical or emotional pain. Over the years, I learned how fragile we humans can be. Emotionally, I used that as an excuse to start drinking again, and I would drink all day sometimes. The 75-year-old recalls his infamous sideline interview in 2003 with ESPN's Susie Colbert, during which he told the sideline reporter while on national TV that he wanted to kiss her. In the book, he calls that moment a turning point in his life. Looking back on the incident, he wrote, "I saw it as a blessing in disguise. I had embarrassed my friends and family and could not escape that feeling. I haven't had a drink since. That shame is where I found my strength to deal with the addiction." So how did he deal with that? It's a very clever way. Namath eventually learned to fend off his bouts of alcoholism by naming the temptation and the voice that urged him to drink. He called the urge Slick, and so he wrote, "Every now and then, Slick whispers, but having a name for him makes me listen to him differently." There is power in naming the things that draw us away from God. And there is more power in believing that Jesus holds dominion over all things. I mean, this is Jesus that we are talking about. And the 8th chapter of Luke dives into this whirlwind of Jesus' teaching and preaching and miracle working. All of these things in chapter 8 point to the authority that Jesus holds, revealing Jesus' power. Because the story right before our story from today is Jesus calming the storm in the lake. He rebukes the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. But the disciples in fear asked, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Jesus' power is over nature. It's over creation itself. He was in the beginning calling forth creation, and his word still calms. And here in our story from today, Jesus' power is over demonic forces, the forces that oppose God's goodness and the reign of God's kingdom on earth. After this story, Jesus' power is over illness and even death. It's a big, big chapter about a very big God. Are you able to name what is taking you away from God? We can all at one time or another be overwhelmed by the voices that rage inside of us or on the outside. Those voices that might tell us that we are less than, driving us to isolation, despair, and loneliness. Jesus calmed the storm at the lake that day, and Jesus calmed the storm in the man possessed by demons. What makes you think that Jesus wouldn't do the same exact thing for us here today? Jesus holds the power and the dominion over all things. What do you need to name to turn yourself around, to be in a rich, full relationship with God? It's harder than it sounds, because here's the rest of the story. Jesus took that legion of demons and put them into the swine that were nearby. Those pigs ran off the side of the cliff, and you can imagine the swineherd's thoughts, right? There goes my livelihood. That is my life going off the side of that cliff. And if you listen close enough and you read between the lines, you can almost hear them screaming as they chase after these pigs running off the cliff into the water. Because this story is joyful, but it's joyful at the misfortune of another. At the end of the story, we have one known naked lunatic who's calm and fully dressed. Then we have floating corpses of all those pigs. Often when we hear about this story, or if I had to tell you the text that I'm preaching on this week, I'd say, well, it's the one that Jesus cast the demons into the pigs and they all die, right? The demon-possessed man is an afterthought of this story. So what do you choose to focus on? Do you choose to focus on the man, the healed man possessed by a demon? Or do you choose to focus on the dead pigs? Well, the residents of this place chose to focus on the pigs, and they asked Jesus to leave. They are not overjoyed at all at what Jesus has done. Instead, they are afraid. And what causes this deep fear? Well, I suspect it's a way in which Jesus' presence and power disrupts the social order. While they were unable either to cure or even contain this demon-possessed man, the villagers at least were accustomed to him, right? He knew his place, and they knew theirs. It is odd, but isn't that the truth for us too? We often prefer the devil that we know to the freedom that we do not. And maybe, just maybe, conquering the fear of the status quo, the social orders of this world, and the powers of whatever we live under can be even more difficult than stilling a storm, casting out demons, healing the sick, and bringing the dead back to life. Jesus tells the healed man to go back into the city and tell what has happened to him. Jesus does this in many of his healing stories. Go and tell the others about the glory of God. But the healed man feared. He feared that no one else would care because they would all be weeping over dead pigs. It makes you wonder, has Jesus come to our neighborhood? Would we recognize him? Would we be worried about dead pigs and not the miracle of a man restored to life once again? Would we be worried about our livelihood, or would we rejoice at a relationship that has been reconciled? Well, it starts by naming it and trusting that God is over all of this mess. And then we must choose where we are going to focus our attention. Martin Luther famously said that any time there was the forces that opposed God's goodness in his life, those demons in his life, that he would shout at the top of his lungs, "I am baptized." Right? Martin Luther knew naming whose he was in the midst of anything that he was going through, and trusting that God had dominion over that situation. May we rise above the things that hold us back, naming them so that we can see the world the way that God sees the world. May we search out new life, restored life, the good in front of us, instead of living in fear of what we are missing out on. May we live into the freedom and liberation that Jesus has so graciously and abundantly given to us, and let go of the voices, the demons, the forces that oppose God's goodness just because they feel safe to us. Jesus is asking us to go back into the world and declare how much God has done for us. So go and proclaim God's love to a fearful world that needs a word of peace. Amen.